I want to speak this morning on letter versus spirit. I'm going to be quick about this because I know that the service has gone on longer than we thought, but it's not so much for that reason. I want to get this point home quickly into our hearts and our minds, and I think I can. Turn with me then, please, to 2 Corinthians 3:6. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, it says, "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, let's read that in context. Come with me then to 2 Corinthians and chapter 3 in the New Testament. And it reads this way, "And we have such trust," from verse 4, "and we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant." As ministers of what? The new covenant. Who's the ministers? We are. You and I. Everyone who believes in Jesus is a minister of the new covenant, okay? Minister of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Now then, Pentecost Sunday. Well, what does it mean? Interesting, you know, I ask the Lord, just as a little testimony, that He leads us every day. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to speak on Sunday?" He said, "Pentecost." I didn't know it was Pentecost Sunday. So He told me to speak on Pentecost. And then this morning, in the back room, I found out it was Pentecost Sunday. Isn't that nice? It's like, it's a confirmation that you're hearing from God. It's encouraging. Isn't it encouraging? And this is what He said to me. He said, "Tell the people this." He said, "Tell them about the Pentecost of the Old Testament, and then tell them about the Pentecost of the New Testament." Pentecost is significant in the Old Testament as well as the New. It's the Greek name for the festival in the Old Testament known as the Feast of Weeks. We see that in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. And the Greek word simply means 50. Just means 50. 50 days have elapsed since the offering of Passover. And the Feast of Weeks is celebrated at the end of the grain harvest. So for the Jews, the Feast of Pentecost was a celebration of the giving of God's law. 50 days after the Passover feast. And when God gave those 10 commandments to Israel, He gave them at Mount Sinai. It was 50 days after they'd celebrated their first Passover and come out of Egyptian slavery. But what happened after God gave them the law on the first Pentecost? Exodus 32:28 tells us what happened. Exodus 32:28. Let me read it, in fact, from verse 24 of Exodus 32. It says, "And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And this calf came out. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword in his side and go in, out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. 3,000 died that day. Now, I want you to contrast this now to another Pentecost, the Pentecost of the New Testament, our Pentecost. In the book of Acts, it says that Pentecost had fully come. Acts 2:41. God gave not the law, but the Holy Spirit. He didn't give the law, but the Holy Spirit. And watch what happens. Acts 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. You see the parallel? 3,000 die, 3,000 are added. Two mountains. Three thousand people got saved. We can see, can't we, that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The law, which was written and engraved on stones, ministered death. It killed 3,000 people. That's why the Apostle Paul calls it the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation. 2 Corinthians 3. 7-9. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. Amen? That's the ministry you've got, my brother and sister. That's the ministry that we've got. The Spirit ministered life. 3,000 people got saved. You know, when you came under the law by trying to keep God's commandments in order to be blessed, it leads to death. So many Christians, you know, they feel, I've messed up. If only I could, you know, many Christians, they go away, lovely big day out or something like that. And then it was great. And then they come back and they just think, oh, that was so good. Oh, that was so great. I wish I could live like that. Wouldn't it be great if you could just live like that? Live with all that fellowship, all that lovely fellow going on all the time. And then Monday comes. And instead of all that, there's, you've got to meet that person, this one, and this one. And then what happens is, if we're not careful, we start having a sense of, I'm not as happy now as I was then. Or I don't feel as if I don't feel as close to God as I was then. And then maybe you mess up in something, and you think, Oh no, now I really don't feel, I really wish I could go back there. Maybe I could just live there. Maybe we could buy an island and just live all together on an island. Maybe then it'd be okay. No. What God is saying is this, listen. It's okay. You can live with him and interact with the world. And that's precisely what we're meant to do. And there's no condemnation for you now. It's not about trying to please God. You don't need to do any pleasing. And even when you mess up, it's okay. You can go to God because he is rich in his forgiveness towards you. His blood was not like the blood of bulls and goats. His blood wasn't like that. His blood was a forever blood, a forever covenant, a once and only deal. But people try and come under the law trying to keep God's commandments in order to be blessed, and it leads to death. And they trick themselves. They think, well, I messed up in this area, so I can't be blessed in this area. I have people saying, well, Pastor, can you pray? We want a child. The problem was that we had relations before we were married. And now they feel God's against them. Well, they shouldn't have had relations before they were married. They shouldn't have done that. But God's not against them. Our God is beautiful. He doesn't hold it against them. It's not a free for all, but what it is it's his richness of his forgiveness. He's not against you. He's not against you because you lost your temper. He's not against you because you messed up in that area. He's not against you at all. He's completely for you. And his love is for you. Now, why do you want to go and put yourself under Mount Sinai, which is where the law was given? Don't live under Mount Sinai. There's a different place where you received what you have. That different place is Mount Zion. The New Testament explains it to us. Therefore, it says in Galatians 3, verse 7, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So if you want to be blessed, make sure that you're on the right mountain. You see, when the law was given on Mount Sinai, by the Spirit, was given on Mount Zion. This is why the Bible says that you have not come to a mountain, Sinai, that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest, but you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 says it nice and clear. The Lord blesses you out of Zion, Psalm 128:5, not Sinai. Zion, a hill in Jerusalem on which the temple was built, used to symbolize the city itself, especially that beautiful, beautiful place for the Christians. Listen, my friends, my brothers and sisters, let's stand together this morning. Let's stand together. And I just want to say to you, look, I understand. Thanks. Yeah. My zip was down. Let's talk, everyone. Let's talk to God. He loves you. He loves me. He's given us a beautiful covenant. Let's talk to him now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful testimonies that you've given in our lives. I thank you, Father God, for what we've heard this morning. I thank you, Father God, for the beautiful testimony of the big church day out. Thank you, Father, for everything that happened there. Thank you, Father, for all those people who put those torches on. Those mobile phones were lit. They were waved in the air. And people came and said yes to Jesus. Father God, we ask this, that each one would be walking with you, would be living in the fullness of their walk and call in you. Father, I ask that church leaders would be developed this Sunday, following that beautiful, beautiful response that they made. I pray that this Sunday be the first Sunday, Father, of their lives, and the first Sunday where you draw them and you draw them in to your will. that they would be leaders in the church, that churches would spring up all over Britain with people who are following the new covenant, people who are leading your children in the light of the gospel. Father God, we thank and praise you. We thank and praise you for what you're doing. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful, Lord. Father, we also want to pray this, that, Lord, as you use us, as you use us, your church, that we would be sensitive. Father, I think of the way in which those people were used, perhaps sometimes for the first time on the big church day out, used in healing, used to minister your healing, used to give a word of prophecy, used to give a word of discernment, a word of wisdom. Father, we know that this call that you have for our church is a big call. And we know, Father God, that there's a need for many people to be used in your ministry, that your body is a body ministry. Father, I'm asking that you would use us and use those people, and that we would be sensitive to find a way for them to use their gifts in and through Living Faith Church and beyond, Father, to the ends of the world. Oh, Lord, it's so encouraging to be part of your body ministering your truths on planet Earth. Father God, have your way. Oh, Lord, we call out to you. We say, Father God, let your will be done. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we celebrate, Lord, with our brothers and sisters. We ask that, Father, we would live as a family of God. That, Father, every day there would be encouraging phone calls, encouraging emails, that we would live as a community of believers, helping one another, loving one another, and seeing you as a consequence impact the world around us. Oh, Father, we know that you've called us. You have called us. You've called us. You've equipped us. You've given us this new, beautiful covenant, a covenant from Zion, not a covenant from Sinai, but the better covenant. Father, we thank you for it. Lord, this morning, what we want to do is say to you, fill us. Fill us, Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that we can be all that you've called us to be and do all that you've called us to do. Want us to, you know, the filling of the Holy Spirit is something that people talk about when it comes to the when it comes to living this Christian life. And I spoke with Pastor David beforehand, and he said to me about his brother, who he was listening to a sermon from the 1960s. His brother was preaching a sermon talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, my friends, to live this Christian life, to live every day like the big church day out or whatever, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is very easy, because God loves us. God has equipped us. God wants us filled, empowered. He's given us his Holy Spirit for that purpose, that we manifest his works on planet Earth. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, what is the filling of the Holy Spirit? It's this. It's the empowering of God to do all that God has called you to do, to be all that God has called you to be. It's God on the inside having control. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't necessarily mean tears or goosebumps or anything else. It means that you are under the control of the Holy Spirit. It means that he can direct your path. He can direct you to go to the left, to the right, to speak to that person, not to speak to this one. Being under the control of the Holy Spirit is what God has called for his church, because we are the body of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, and that body must manifest his will. And in order to manifest his will, we've got to be resigned to be in his body. My friends, God has given us everything that we need to manifest his will. In other words, he says this to us this morning. Listen, open up your hands and say to me, fill me, Lord, fill me anew. Yes, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. But throughout the week, things happen. And we, if you like the terminology, leak. We leak. The Holy Spirit leaks out of us. But God. And so I think to myself this. For each one here this morning, the best thing for the week ahead is this. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so let's open up our hands to him now. And let's invite him to fill us. Heavenly Father, we worship and honor you. We give you all the praise for our lives. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for what you've done in our lives. We worship you and honor you. We thank you and praise you. And this we say now, Lord. Lord, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. All our comings, all our goings, filled under the control of the Holy Spirit. Father God, have your way with us this morning. We place ourselves before you and we say, fill me anew, Lord. Fill me anew, that my life will be yielded to your will. Fill me anew, Lord. More. Everyone opening up hands now to God. Everyone opening up hands to God. Heavenly Father, we ask this of you. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Holy Spirit, fill your church. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Mendo kese. Mendo kese vele. Vento kose. Indavase le fiento. Mendo vese le chiere. In toko se le vi, in borovo se le vento ki, in bolovo se vento ki. In dolovo se le vento ki. Jesus. Oh, Father God, have your way. There's people that you'll reach, brother or sister. You'll reach them because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're under the control of the Holy Spirit. You'll reach them. God will reach them through you. God will use you. You'll pray for them. You'll minister healing into their bodies, and those sick bodies will be made well. God will do it through you. Hallelujah. God will do it through you. God will do it through you. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. praise his wonderful name.